Lesson I had a couple of weeks ago, right? But the difference is the date on this one has changed, but nothing else. I figured, you know what? Might as well at least update the date. Today is the 15th of August. No, this is the 15th of July. And we're going to start with verse 22. Anyone else have a testimony? I don't want to move beyond someone's opportunity. Don?
Well, I haven't worked since July 3rd, so that's both a testimony and it's also sad because we've got to go back to work. We had a good time off and we didn't go too far other than when we went to visit Bob and Perry, where we did Carmel and Boardwalk, and we had a corporate event today at Great America, so we didn't go too far, but we had a lot of fun, and the Lord really blessed us in our time off. And this was our summer vacation, I guess, but we stayed fairly close by, and we agreed we all had a good time. So we're thankful to the Lord that he blessed us in our nearby vacation.
Amen, and kept you safe. We always pray that way for safety for people. Debbie and I had a... We left last week after church and after Sunday morning service and headed to Ukiah. Ukiah is probably not a vacation destination. It was 91 degrees, and we went from the car to the room and just about stayed there. We did go out to an older restaurant and had a dinner that was very good, but then we made our way north, and it was interesting. We love the north. We love the beach, and that's very cool and breezy, and the water is just beautiful. God has created a beautiful earth, and it's so nice that we can know Him as Savior, which is the most important thing. I've heard people say, well, I feel God more out in nature than I do in church. Two problems. Something wrong with that person, something wrong with the church you're going to. I want to feel God in church. Don't you? I want to feel the Spirit of the Lord in church. I pray that every day, that we feel the move of the Spirit of God. I don't want it to be just, we can be quiet and still feel something, can't we? Praise God. And so, but I enjoy seeing the glory of God, but it's from a perspective of knowing the Savior, knowing the Creator. He lives inside of us. So we're excited about what the Lord will have in store for us as we just keep going this pilgrim path. Start with verse 22. Jim, we're messed up. Oh, my goodness. Jim, you want to read 22, 23, and 24. No, that's that. Chapter 8, 22.
I'm sorry, I thought you said 30.
22, 23, and 24. That way we get back on course. So, a storm. I kind of like storms. Now, I kind of like storms when I'm on solid ground. And when the rain isn't so much that it's about ready to wash solid ground away, because that's kind of tough. But Jesus was going just on the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum over to Decapolis, which is 10-city area there. And he had a mission, he had a purpose to do. I believe that there was no way this boat was going to capsize or that it was going to take on too much water. Too much water. But it was definitely taking on water. And several of the people that were in the boat with Jesus were fishermen. And this wasn't the first time they had been in a storm. But possibly this is the first time they felt like their life was in jeopardy and that they had to, something had to be done. Years and years ago, Edna Sewell sang for us, "I Know the Master of the Wind." And that's a beautiful song. And we all know the Master of the Wind. We know Jesus and He controls everything. And the reason I say that the little boat or the ship, as it's referred to, was not going to sink is because Jesus was on it, and God had a purpose for His life. And I believe that the hosts of heaven were close enough by. But at the same time, what these men that followed Jesus needed to see was that He was the master of the wind. They needed to understand that. And so they went forth, no doubt had a good start to their travel. But then it became rough. And Jesus fell asleep, which shows a bit of His humanity. He prayed for a lot of people. He worked hard. I've seen evangelists, and Brother Kincaid is probably a good example of someone that's prayed for several people, maybe even 100 people in a service. And at the end of it, and of course he's a few years older than when he started, but he's worn out and he's tired because of all of the effort. But I've also seen and heard in his testimony of a bit of energy that comes because of the blessings and the results of the Spirit moving and the power of God going forth. But Jesus was really tired from His ministry. He had people always after Him to heal them. And He healed so many. He changed their lives. But now there was water getting in the boat. And that's kind of where I get a little bit nervous too. When there's more water in the boat than there needs to be. The water can stay outside just fine. But when you have wind and waves, you get water in the boat. And these gentlemen were getting nervous, even the ones that had been in the, on the water a lot, and it was a furious storm or hurricane. This was quite a doozy, and so they were all afraid, and they felt like, well, here Jesus is asleep. I think it's a book of Mark that records them saying, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus was asleep. He didn't know what was going on. He was asleep, and He slept through the beginning of this storm, but they woke Him up and said, we're in big trouble here. We're in real big trouble here, and we need you to know where we're at. And possibly they were saying, look, if you can do something, here is the time to do it. We need your help. So there was the water raging and the wind that was stirred up. And he arose. How many likes to be woke up suddenly? Not generally. It's kind of like gently. Sweetheart, something like that. Now, hey, you wake up. We might have wakened the boys that way when they were having to go to school and stuff, but they had to get up and go to school so they'd get an education. But for the most part, we all like to be awakened easily, but these guys were scared to death, and they woke Jesus up rather quickly. And Jesus seems like in one motion, he woke up and said, "Stop, peace." One recording of this story says, "Peace, be still." But this one says, he arose, rebuked the wind, and the raging water. He said, it's enough. And then the scripture says, and they ceased. Doesn't seem like any time went by. This was one of the quickest miracles that I think we could have seen. Jesus, when he was aware of it, and he said, stop, and it stopped. And there was a calm. There's nothing in the world like a calm after a storm. It just seems so peaceful. Just a while ago, things were raging, and winds were blowing, and the waters were just everywhere, and now it's just like a very serene lake, to where there's nothing hardly going on at all. Because Jesus is the master of the elements. I know some have said, well, the devil's the one that's in charge of the weather and all that. I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus is in charge of everything. Why do we have floods? That's just part of life. And the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. The same with the sun on the just and the unjust. It's not a matter of punishment most often. And there could be a storm of punishment. There's going to be a great lot of punishment during the tribulation. But at this point, we just see weather happens. But I know the miracle power of God. I remember going to bed one Friday night, and we were going on a Boy Scout camp out the next day if it wasn't raining. And I prayed. We woke up Saturday morning. It was beautiful and clear, and we went on our camp out. And that's God answers those prayers. God answered their prayer, and he brought a cease to the storm. And oftentimes in our lives, we have storms going on, and we need some peace. We need some things to settle. Understand this, Jesus has the authority and the power, Creator God. He can do all things, and he can do it instantly. The power of the Spirit is within his control, and he can bring blessing. Now, a lot of things that we seek today for our storms is different kinds of therapy and counseling, and that's okay. But boy, when you have a storm and you need immediate help, nothing like the power of God helping you. And again, I'm not trying to diminish counseling. Sometimes you don't have time for counseling. You need an answer now, and the Lord's able to do that. Debbie? Wow.
Then he said the storm was no surprise to Jesus. He knew about it, but he didn't tell the disciples about it in order to teach them that he is always in the boat.
Wow. That's great notes. That's great notes. I'm glad you took those notes. That 96 is a long time ago, right? A few years ago, but thank the Lord for the truth of the word is still the same. And he is the master of our storms, and we can count on him. You know, there are times that the Lord gets us through the storm, and there's times that he stops the storm, but it's in his power. Jim?
Going up and down, you think to yourself, how can anybody sleep
I've been on a lot less tumultuous sea out there in Monterey catching fish, and I was so sick, and I would go to sleep, and I would be good, better. And someone would wake me up, and I would return to being sick. And I just didn't appreciate being woken up at that time. But, yeah, it's amazing how the Lord controlled this, the Sea of Galilee, how he controlled it with speaking the words. But thank God we belong to him, and he knows how to bring peace to our storms in life. Debbie, you want to read 25, 26? Now, they were afraid even after the calm. And they were afraid because they had never seen anything so awesome, I think. They'd never seen such a witness of, I mean, you know, there's something about a storm coming and going, blowing through. It's something else when in the middle of the storm, it's gone like that. So these people were, these guys were amazed. I think it was wonderful that they got to see Jesus in action. And I believe, as Brother Watson's notes, that the Lord wanted to show them, the Lord wanted to teach them that he could take care of this, because at some point he was going to send them out and let them be responsible for the gospel message. And he wanted them to understand the power that he was going to give to them. And this is part of that power. So they wondered among themselves. They'd seen the healing, but this was different. Isn't it amazing how that God does, the old saying, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. It's amazing that we're ever surprised at what God's mercy and grace brings, because he's always able to show another side of his tenderness and his awesome power. And this was just that. He commanded, and the winds and the waves obey him. So how much more should we obey him and we should surrender our control of our lives into his hand? What manner of man is this? This is the Son of God. This is the one that came to eliminate sin from the world. And the Lord wanted to show his power over the works of Satan. Did Satan have something to do with this? He may well have, trying to kill Jesus, but it wasn't going to happen because all of heaven was watching, and there wasn't going to be that. The Lord was going to live to the point of getting to the cross. So then they come to the other side, the Gadarenes, which is on the opposite side of Galilee. And they were pretty much just landing. And then verse 27. Audrey, you want to read 27 and 28? I love this story. It's one of the great demonstrations of the power of the Lord. We don't know how many people Jesus healed and delivered from Satan, set free from demon possession. We don't know. John said in his gospel, if everything was written that he had done, the world would not be able to contain the volumes. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. He healed so many people, and he delivered so many people. This one we have written down, and I'm so grateful for it, that as soon as Jesus even touched the ground, that this man, remember, this man was filled with a legion of demons, about 6,000 demons. I was thinking as I was studying this, Lord, I'm going to have a question for you in heaven. How did that ever happen? What did he do? How was it that he could be so possessed? This man didn't have control. I've heard people say, well, the only way the Lord can deliver someone is if they want to be delivered. This man was possessed. He didn't have control over what he wanted to do. For whatever reason, he had let down his guard and the evil spirits came in. I don't think this was lightly. He may have worshipped in a pagan. You know, when people are pagans, they open the door to Satan. We that are Christians don't even have that experience. We don't even know what that's like. We don't get close to that world. But people that are pagans, that are against God and work against God and are, what would you say, very adamant in their hatred and bitterness for God, they open the door for the spirit of the devil to come into them. And this man had 6,000 demons, and yet when Jesus was in the area, he came and sought him out. And the things that he said were amazing to me. But this man was in such a dire condition, he had no control over himself. They couldn't bind him because he broke the chains. And he didn't live in a house, but he lived amongst the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at the feet of the Lord. He humbled himself down. Remember, this man had no control. The demons inside of him came and bowed before Jesus, and they recognized him as the Son of the Most High. You know what? Every sinner that does that has an opportunity to become born again. These demons didn't have that option. But they knew the power of the Lord, and they wanted to get on his good side. Isn't that amazing? That they would want to, because they said, I beseech thee that you torture me not or torment me not. And so they understood the power of the Lord. And they weren't at all going to be, they didn't want to just leave things to chance. They wanted to seek his mercy even in their dilemma. They didn't want to be, and there's some thought that Jesus could have tossed them into the abyss early. And that's my other question. Why didn't you just get rid of those guys? But there is a reason, and there is part of the lesson of them being cast into the swine. Don, you want to read 29 and 30? Thank you. In the scripture, it's in parenthesis explaining that Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out. This spirit, these spirits, had put this guy in such a place that he must have been a menace to his town. Have you ever lived in an area where you had someone that was a cranky neighbor? And if you let your ball go into their yard, they kept it. We had some of those growing up. Rascals, they I don't know why. Sometimes there were, you know, they may have had beautiful flowers or something. They were afraid the balls were going to, and they just wanted to keep the kids out of the yard too. But this was a whole different situation from that. This guy was a menace, and you never knew where he would be. And he was a wild animal-like person. He could break every chain or fetter they put on him. And then many times the devil would just drive him into the wilderness where he would go and have no control at all. And Jesus said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, because we are many devils," because many devils had entered into him. And we have an estimate of 6,000 representing a legion. And that's a lot. That's a whole lot of demons in this one man. And there, in some of the scripture, there's a mention of two people that were possessed with the demon. And in two other of the books, only one is mentioned. And clearly, this is the most in need one, the man that had the legion of demons. And he needed help. One of the things that the demons had done was to drive him into the wilderness to make him all alone, to where there's no help. There was no clinics or no hospitals or anything that he could check into. He needed help, but there was no one to help until Jesus came across the water through the storm, landed on the shore, and now it's time for a deliverance. The demons knew what was going to happen, so they begin to try to get on his good side and ask for a little bit of his understanding. And so there are demons today, and we don't see it as much. And I believe that's because America has been, for the most part, a Christian nation. There are people that we run into that maybe we scratch our head and say, "Huh, what's going on with them?" But I think for the most part, even some of the worst cases I've seen, and this is just me, there are churches that have dealt with full onslaught demon possessions. I've never seen that. We used to have a lady in Alameda that would come through the back doors and start talking about being a clairvoyant of some order and something like that. And I remember one time we had a young evangelist that was preaching, and he just started walking toward her speaking in tongues, and she vamoosed. She took out of there like nobody's business. She wasn't sticking around to see what was going on. She didn't come back for a long time, but she did come back. And I don't even know that she was demon-possessed, but she was definitely oppressed by the devil. And if she had come in a way of seeking the help of the Lord could have delivered her. Because I think this is one of the worst situations I've ever read about. And Jesus cast out these demons with very little effort because he had the authority. And Jesus has given to you and I the authority. Isn't in Mark 16 the very first thing that we're giving power in his name to do is cast out demons? If it's not first, it's right up there. And yet today we live in such a, I think we live in such a good place that we don't see this quite as often. But just as sure as it's needed, we have the power in the name of Jesus over demon possession. And what a deliverance, what a blessing for people to, to come into liberty after being so bound and so captive. Don?
Presence of demons would be almost
against spirituality and the fact that there are, you know, strongholds and whatnot of the spiritual world. And I think that Satan in the United States has kind of settled into more of a secular presence. You know, it's not so in your face as it may be in many foreign countries, even like Mexico. Skip can tell, I'm sure, plenty of stories that we've seen there. Again, with people who are very superstitious and spiritual by their culture. And instead here, you know, there's just a prevalence of mental illness. You know, not that all mental illness is demon possession, certainly, but I think that, you know, those kinds of spiritual possessions and strongholds have taken up secular-looking, maybe even diagnosable presences in people.
Yeah, that's absolutely possible, because we live in a different type of society. And we have paganism here, more in the line of humanism. And like Donnie said, that's the philosophy that people buy into. And that, you know, that we can work out our own difficulties as people, and through different ways and thinking different and all that. But when there's a demon possession met, it needs to be met with the power of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and the name of the Lord. Amen? So we do, like the old song says, we have the power in the name of Jesus. Evan, Donnie, who wants to read next?
I'll
go. Okay, 31, 32.
And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission.
Isn't it amazing? And this is a question I'm going to ask the Lord. What was the purpose of that? There is a purpose. And I may not understand it, and maybe you have a better understanding, and you're welcome to share. But these demons didn't want to go into the abyss. They didn't want to go into captivity, being locked up. They wanted to be still, what would you say, active. And they asked that they not go into the deep that way, but into this abyss. And so there was a herd of swine feeding. Now, did Jesus have the authority to send them into the swine? Creator God had the authority to do whatever he wanted to. It may have been that these swine were, and it's very possible that they were being raised by Jewish people to sell to the Roman government. And they were probably worth something somewhere around $50,000, which is a lot of money. And it could have been that Jesus wanted to let them know, hey, this is not according to the law. You're supposed to stay away from swine with or pigs. And so he may have had that in mind. I'm not sure. But he allowed these demons to go into about 2,000 sheep. And it's amazing how long this man was tormented by these demons and how quickly the swine couldn't take it. And they immediately committed suicide, more or less. Sister Watson, you want to read 33, 34? I'm very impressed with these swine having sense enough not to entertain those demons very long. And they went and jumped in the lake, more or less.
But Jim, did you ever think that man had all of those demons inside of him?
Yeah.
And those swine only had one apiece.
And I'm glad the man didn't go jump in the ocean, because it would have meant that he wouldn't get the deliverance and the salvation that he came to through Jesus Christ. And then they that fed them saw what was done, and they went to tell everybody Oh, you got to see this. This is amazing. Now, this is an unusual story. We could have had revival break out in this place. But these people took a different turn. And Sister Becky, you want to read 35, 36?
Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed.
It's funny how people look at a situation. The way I see this, that man, what a blessing he had from being a person that nobody wanted to ever meet in the darkness of night. No one ever wanted to see that guy on your path wherever you were going. And he was a menace. He was horrible. We've got some of those in our neighborhood, not necessarily demon-possessed, but someone that's possessed with like an M80 firecracker, and for the last several nights, about midnight or between 10 and midnight, they've been letting them off. They may be demon-possessed, making that kind of noise in a decent area like this, but this guy was scary in every way imaginable. And then when Jesus touched him, the scripture talks about him being clothed and in his right mind. He became, I believe with all my heart, he became one of the most wonderful people to be around because of the change that Jesus worked in his heart. And but the ones that took care of the sheep, they went and they talked about and got the word going forth, and so they came out to see what was going on and did we read 36 too?
35 and 36, yes.
Okay, so they came out to see what was going on, and it wasn't enough that there was one of their community members that was delivered. The problem was the swine. Problem was the $50,000 worth of pigs that went over into the lake. And so, you know, it was a big thing. They even told him how this guy was delivered in the name of, or by the power and the hand of Jesus. It's amazing. It's incredible to me how they could not just rejoice. But then again, when it comes to pocketbooks, a lot of people get very careful, and they don't even want the association with the Lord. Sister Sharon, you want to read 37, 38?
I will, but I have a question.
Okay. You'll have to ask the Lord that one. Because my assumption is that then they were freed to go into other places and into other people. It's kind of I don't know. There's always been a bit of mystery where these demons come from, and some believe that they were the fallen angels, and others believe that they were the creation that was before us. And that those that were created, those, I would say, somewhat human people, the cavemen and so forth, that they had a spirit and that they would follow Satan. Satan was the worship leader, and he drew people close to him, and he had ones that would follow him, and some believe that they were, you know, those spirits. I don't know that there's anything concise on that, but I do know this. They're of the devil, and the devil had control over them, and they did nothing but harm people. Is that okay?
Out of whom
don't you read verse 39, and that'll finish us off for tonight. So these people got together and had a town meeting. And they decided they didn't want Jesus around because he was messing with their commerce. They didn't want Jesus around. Even though he had done such a wonderful miracle and brought such amazing deliverance. Now listen, if they would have let Jesus stay, there would have been many people healed and many others delivered from Satan's bondage. If there's one that's in this case, there's others that may be lesser, but in the same situation. When you're dealing with paganism and there's people worshiping pretty much the devil, there's going to be a lot of demon possession. Jesus could have brought great deliverance and healing. He could have healed their children. He could have healed their elderly. He could have healed everybody that came to him. But they made a choice. They said, we don't want you here. We want you to leave. It's amazing to me how anyone could see a miracle and not want to see what's next. I'm kind of funny about traveling. Debbie and I don't share the same goals necessarily. We went to Eureka area, and then I've never been to Crescent City, so I wanted to go see it. I'll be quite honest with you. I wasn't that impressed with Crescent City. It was what it was, a little community there, right? And the ocean is beautiful there. And then I thought, well, it's only a half an hour to Oregon. Why don't we just go on up there? It's kind of like, you know, what's next? What's a little bit further? What's a little bit kind of like Daniel Boone? What's on the other side of that mountain, you know? And with these people, if they'd let Jesus stay, there could have been so many adventures of what he did in this area. But they pushed him out. And the Lord, what would you say? The Lord will honor the free will of man. And he said, okay then, if you want me to leave. The man that was delivered said, I got to go with you. Why? Because he had a touch from the Lord. We're saying he touched me. He really touched this guy. He really touched him. Oh, the joy that flooded his soul. Something wonderful happened and he was delivered. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute. If you go, you've got a story to tell. But if you stay, you've got a community to win. He said, they know who you are. And your testimony is better here. So stay and just preach and tell people of what's happened to you. And verse 40 says that and we'll look at this again next week. It says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, and that's returned to Capernaum, that the people gladly received him, and they were all waiting for him. See what a difference? In Decapolis, in that area, they were saying, we want you to leave. We don't want any more of this kind of stuff. We don't want it. We say no to it. And what was waiting for him was a people who were hungry to see his healing and his miracles. And we go from verse 40 to 56 with a couple of more mighty miracles. We'll look at that next week and whatever else we have the chance to. But we understand and we know that he's the master of the wind and he has power over the devil. No matter how great the devil is in someone's life, Jesus can set them free. I'm glad that he set me free. And I'm glad that when he spoke to my heart, that I listened to him. And I was 8 years old, and I listened, and he said, you got to get saved. I said, well, I do pretty good. My mom and dad made sure I didn't live too much of a heathen lifestyle. But that wasn't it. The Lord wanted that personal relationship. And I'm so thankful he did. He wants that same thing with us all, and he wants to grow us in our life. Anyone else have a comment?
I just had a thought about when the demons besought the Lord, that please, you know, don't send us into the deep. that they didn't want to happen, happen to them anyway. The pigs went into the deep.
Yep.
And they were, and in my mind, that that's Jesus saying, you know what, you may think you have the upper hand, and you may think you've gotten what you want, but he's the final authority, and what's supposed to happen to him happened.
And the bottom line is that Satan is going to be bound. Satan has no redemption. We do. We do. And I'm so glad that we know Christ as Savior. Anyone else with a thought before we pray? Then let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. How strong and how mighty. Lord, you defeated the storm and you defeated a legion of demons with just speaking the words of deliverance. You've given us deliverance, and Lord, we thank you that we've never known this kind of bondage and this kind of horrible treatment by the devils. We praise you, Lord, that we're set free and that we live free in you, and we pray, Lord, that your word will just continue to grow in our heart and lives. Help us, Lord, to see what your purpose is for us, and help us to be obedient to walk in that way toward that goal. We want to honor you in our whole life. We pray blessing this week. We know, Lord, there's situations that come that are harsh, that are hard, but we pray for mercy. We pray, Lord, your strength and your blessing upon each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Next Sunday morning, we're going to do communion. So we'll look forward to having that fellowship with each other and with God in communion.